This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
And once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Hypnosis and Smoke Cessation channels. You can find us and subscribe to our programming on iTunes. It can now be heard on TuneIn Radio as well for your convenience. Today we are speaking with Nick Tarone, owner of Quit With Nick, a clinic that mainly assists people to stop smoking with a 94.7% success rate, but also helps people with food addictions, weight loss, severe stress, and anxiety. Although he is based in Sydney, Australia, he is also available for consultations via Skype. You got to love technology. Nick, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the introduction. I look forward to spending this time with you.
And certainly good to have you as well, and thanks for joining us via Australia this morning. So with 2015 just around the corner and with so many people making those New Year's resolutions to stop smoking, what would be your advice for smokers wanting to stop?
Well, Eric, having been a smoker myself and having helped about 1,300 smokers in the last 6 years, what I've come to realize is that there are basically six elements that I want to share now that can help anyone become a non-smoker for life, no matter what method they use. So the first one is really that you need the number one ingredient, which is commitment. You need to be committed to stopping, obviously. This is really what makes you successful. It's the aid does have a job to play, but it's your level of commitment that will make the aid work, if that makes sense. After all, I mean, all the aids that you can think of, I mean, it's kind of in the word. What are they aiding? They're aiding a commitment that you already have to become a non-smoker. But what I've found is most smokers using aids are often expecting some kind of silver bullet from the aid, and so they're looking for an easy way out, and then it doesn't really turn out that way, and then they will say that the aid didn't work for them. So it's good to keep in mind that every aid has worked for many people, but there isn't one aid that has worked for everyone. So the variable in the equation is really the smoker's mindset. So that's the first thing, commitment. The second thing is really just having a belief that you can actually quit. You know, that really helps. Saying things like, oh, I've tried everything, nothing works, it's not really going to help you. So the third thing, do the right preparation. Preparation is key. You know, it's good to write down your reasons, set a date, know your triggers, have a plan for them, develop a support plan, get someone you can call, maybe get a free quit app on the App Store. There's lots of free information online, so preparation is key. The next thing, start breaking the habit and the routine of smoking, which is really powerful. So this might include delaying cigarettes, putting them off maybe for 10 minutes, half an hour. Ration yourself. Rather than having a pack on your hip or in your bag, just say, oh, I'm only going to have five today. I'm just going to bring five with me. Leave the pack at home. Collect butts and ash in a jar. And then when you, after your quit day, look at that. Top it up with water. Have a smell of it if you need to. You know, anything that can get you feeling horrible about it. And distract yourself. Do something different. So that's the fourth tip. The fifth one, learn to become a better manager of your emotions. Cigarettes are often a lazy way for smokers to deal with their feelings and emotions. So you've got to be committed to finding and practicing alternative emotional management and stress reduction strategies. And the last thing, Eric, number six, I reckon once you quit, no matter how justified you think you may be in the moment, do not ever, ever think that you can get away with just one puff, because you've got to treat it like a recovering alcoholic. And I'm sure many people listening to this now have experienced that, where they've allowed themselves to have a puff and thinking, oh, I've gone this far, maybe one won't hurt, and it gets them starting again. So that would be my six tips to help people stop, no matter what aid they decide to use.
Why do smokers find it so hard to stop permanently?
Well, the belief, one of the things is that there's a belief that a lot of smokers have that they're addicted to a drug. That belief can make it very hard because it sounds very overwhelming. But there are actually many things that show that smoking is more of a psychological dependency and a habit rather than just a drug addiction. I mean, nicotine replacement therapies, they don't work for everyone. So if it was just a drug addiction that needed to be addressed, well, the patch would work for everyone every time. I mean, the fact that passive smokers don't get hooked on smoking means, well, surely the chemicals can't be addictive to the body, because if I'm a non-smoker breathing in secondhand smoke, then I would feel the need to rush out and start smoking, but they don't. Repetition of a hand action over and over again takes about 10 draws to finish a cigarette. If you're having 20 a day, you're bringing your fingers to your lips 200 times a day. True drug addiction has real physical withdrawals. Pregnant women can just quit cold turkey just like that, but heroin addicts can't do that. You know, when you fly on a plane, you can go without. You can be distracted from a cigarette. I mean, these are all things that shows that it's more of a psychological thing than just in your body, you know. And a lot of people also are very fearful of what they may feel when they quit, like these withdrawals and weight gain and fear of failure. All of these can be taken care of if you have the right mindset and the right professional coaching. No replacement therapy gives you coaching, you know. I don't really believe in feedback, only feedback. So a lot of smokers have this idea, I don't want to fail, but if you take it as a learning, then it can help you moving forward. I mean, there's no guarantees when it comes to stopping smoking, but there's definitely one guarantee: that the moment you give up on trying to quit, you probably never will quit. So, yeah, it's just really about getting the right mindset.
And you're right about that for sure. Anti-smoking campaigns are often trying to scare smokers into quitting, as if the smoker doesn't know cigarettes are bad for them. It seems like there isn't really much more a smoker could learn about cigarettes that could truly help them stop. But could you share with us some facts about cigarettes here, and now that perhaps your average smoker out there wouldn't know, something that could help them stop?
Absolutely. There's one thing that I do share with people that almost no one I share this with has ever known about cigarettes, and that is that every single cigarette has up to 20% sugar. It's got a lot of sugar content, and anyone can Google this and have a look on Wikipedia. If you look at how cigarettes are made, you'll see that part of the process is taking raw tobacco and putting it into a massive vat where they add all these artificial flavors and additives. And that's why cigarettes used to be marketed as having a very smooth flavor. And so that's how you distinguish between brands, from the flavor, the taste. And menthol cigarettes have the highest sugar content. So once a smoker knows this, it starts to become, it's like a domino effect. A lot of other things start to make sense. And that's why often smokers, when they stop smoking all of a sudden, they will experience things that drug companies want the smoker to believe is nicotine withdrawal, but it's actually a drop in blood sugar. If you ask any diabetic what they experience when their blood sugars drop, you'll notice that it's moodiness, headaches, agitation, this passive-aggressive thing, slight handshaking, and the need to eat something. These are exactly what a lot of smokers experience when they stop, and that's why also smokers' teeth get a bit horrible, their gums, because of the sugar. And also we know that sugar is so addictive as well. I mean, it's one of the biggest addictive things in our society these days. So the simple solution I tell people to help them is have natural sugars from the day you quit for at least a couple of weeks. Natural sugars doesn't mean soft drink or wine or anything like that, but natural sugars like natural juice, fruit juice, and even having some raw macadamias mixed with licorice, good organic licorice, helps the brain biochemistry in the detox process. You want to try to avoid artificial sugars like soft drinks, energy drinks, chocolate, desserts, sweets, because the artificial sugar gives you a quick sugar rush and then a crash. And that's when a smoker who's trying to quit can feel moody, agitated, and they'll turn to, you know, the next stimulant. Having plenty of water as well is really key. The water helps with the detox process. It replenishes your cells with water, and it helps you hydrate, and your skin improves for that reason as well. So that's one thing that I'm sure most listeners didn't know about cigarettes.
Today we are with Nick Tarone, owner of Quit With Nick, a clinic that mainly assists people stop smoking with a 94.7% success rate. He also helps people with food addictions, weight loss, severe stress, and anxiety. Here on eHealth Radio's Hypnosis and Smoking Cessation channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Nick, I understand that part of your Stop Smoking program involves hypnotherapy, so for the benefit of our listeners, if you could tell us exactly what it is and what it isn't, meaning hypnotherapy.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Sadly, a lot of people think that hypnotherapy is something to do with what they've seen on stage shows or on TV, but people have to remember that the stuff that all of that is for entertainment purposes. The only common factor between entertainment hypnosis and hypnotherapy is that it will never get you to do something you don't already want to do. Stage shows only happen because of volunteers. And you have to remember, usually these volunteers are kind of half inebriated. They're kind of half drunk. They're extroverts. They usually don't really need much encouragement to act silly. And the guy on stage is very good at carefully selecting the volunteers who are going to go with the flow, who want to please, and that kind of thing. So it's important that people know that it's not really that. Therapy is very different. Also, people think that you fall asleep during hypnotherapy, which isn't the case. You're very in a kind of wakeful state, very relaxed, and people think you might not remember anything. That's not true. You feel very aware of what's happening. It feels like a very familiar feeling of just deep relaxation, and it kind of feels like a guided meditation. You're also always in control. People think that during hypnosis, they're relinquishing control or that it's for weak minds, but not at all. You're just being guided. The therapist isn't really doing anything to you. They're like a guide. They're guiding your attention and what to do with it. So in a way, you could say that you're kind of doing it to yourself. Your mind and muscles have to do what you tell them to do, not what the therapist tells you to do. They're called suggestions, not commands, which means that the participant basically decides whether they're going to go with the flow or not. And here's the interesting thing, Eric. I mean, a lot of people who think they can't experience it, hypnotic trance, I say to them, you actually experience it in a normal, natural state in the day all the time, like when you drift in and out, like when you're driving and you miss your turn off. That's like a hypnotic trance. Or when you're watching TV and someone's come in and asked you a question, it's like you didn't even hear them. That's like a trance. People say, oh, I'm a million miles away, I was daydreaming, I was off with the fairies, that kind of thing. The only difference in a hypnosis session is that the actual therapist has your attention and you're guided by focusing on what's being said in a very slow kind of way. And really, the only people that can't be hypnotized are those who are unable to follow verbal instructions. So if you've got a significant intellectual disability, ADHD, autism, if you can't follow instructions or you don't even understand English, then obviously you can't be led into relaxation. So, you know, it's basically a really simple process of relaxation, really. Yeah.
Lastly, if you could tell us exactly how and why hypnosis addresses the urge and craving for a cigarette.
Absolutely. It's really important for a client to understand this because on one level, I say to my clients, it may not seem like a heck of a lot is happening from your experience. You might be very deeply relaxed, but it's really important that people understand, well, what's actually going on that deeper level? Well, basically, I mean, the process of hypnosis allows us to collaboratively work with the part of the mind which is really responsible for 96 to 98% of who we are, what we do in our automatic behaviors. And that's the subconscious, unconscious, non-conscious mind, three words for the same thing, basically. Once a client is guided into this state, the barrier between conscious and unconscious is a little bit blurry and a little bit faded. And from this moment on, your brain is basically in what we call an alpha state, which is basically the corresponding brain frequency for wakeful relaxation. So you see, the unconscious mind has two roles to play in our life. One is to make our lives easier by driving our automatic pilot, and the other is protection, physical and emotional. So it makes your life easier by taking over all that stuff you don't have to think about anymore. Kind of like smoking. A lot of people smoke without even thinking about it. that it has a protection element as well. Physically, if you touch the hot stove or a car swerves out while you're driving, you react instantly, you know. But it also has a protection element, and this is the deeper thing, the deeper connection that needs to be dissolved in with a smoker. See, when a smoker first started, on a conscious level, it was very horrible as a teenager. Oh, this is horrible, disgusting, yuck, yuck. But on a deeper emotional level, they would have been saying completely the opposite. Look at me, aren't I cool? I'm part of the crowd. I'm fitting in. I'm a rebel. I look older. So in that moment, your unconscious mind actually made a decision, the thinking it was a benefit to you, and it said, oh, this smoking thing is giving me all these good feelings. It must be a good thing. So it makes that connection, and it hangs on to it for the rest of your life, thinking it's being of service to you. So with hypnosis, what we do is it's like we're addressing the tug of war that seems to be going on for a lot of smokers. On their conscious level, they're pulling in one direction, but the unconscious is pulling in another direction, responsible for the urge, thinking it's being of service. So we say to that part, look, thanks for wanting protection and good stuff, but it's not down that way. You need to let go of that part of the rope and join my conscious mind. So once you've done that, the person experiences a difference immediately. As soon as they open their eyes, they go, wow, I actually feel differently. There's alignment. And, you know, they feel fine right amongst their old triggers. Smoke, whether they were having drinks or first thing in the morning or after food or boredom while driving, they feel just an alignment and completely different. So that's pretty much how it works, yeah.
If you would, tell us where folks can connect with you and get more information on your programs.
Absolutely. Well, people can find me on Facebook, Quit With Nick, or on Twitter at Quit With Nick, or my website, quitwithnick.com or quitwithnick.com.au. Exactly the same website. And I have a YouTube channel which people can connect through via my website as well, Aaron.
Very good. You make it very easy. Nick, thanks so much for joining us today here on eHealth Radio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric. And all the best to everyone trying to knock this on the head. Keep going.
There you go. Great advice there. We've been speaking with Nick Tarone, owner of Quit With Nick, a clinic that mainly assists people to stop smoking with a 94.7% success rate. He also helps people with food addictions, weight loss, severe stress, and anxiety. And once again, the website of reference is quitwithnick.com.au. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Hypnosis and Smoking Cessation channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.